Hi there, just saw your message.
Cool. So make sure you have the link.
Yeah, I was just clicking on it.
So okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Long time no see.
As far as I know, there wasn't a pre-submitted question queue. Typically for our live calls, we have some kind of post or people submit questions, but I don't think that happens. Okay. For this call. So what I can do is everybody, if you'd like to post your questions in the chat, I can read them off to Annette. But Annette, go ahead and, you know, if you like, I can do like a quick little intro or you
can. I was about to say, yeah, whichever. I don't care.
I'll give you a little.
You intro. Give me a little lead in and then I'll go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Hi, everybody. So this is our Stay in Your Sweet Spot live support call. Are we in week 3 already? Is it week 4? Yeah, I think we're on week 4 of the live portion. So, Annette Felsenet is here to take us through this live support call. She is an expert insulin resistance coach. She's one of Dr. Regan Ray's trained practitioners, her nutritional endocrinology practitioner. So she's graduated the program and she has a specialty in metabolic issues and diabetes because she is the mother of a type 1 diabetic. So she's here to support you today. And I'm just going to, like I said earlier, it looks like we don't have a chat or a comment question queue that like came up in Facebook for the call. So please, just if you have questions now, put them in the chat and I'll read them off to Annette when she's ready. But I think that's all I'm going to say for now. So Annette, you go ahead and take away.
Okay. So I recognize a couple of your names. I know we've talked. So it's good to see you. My name is Annette, and I discovered Dr. Rita Marie when looking for a functional endocrinologist for my recently diagnosed type 1 diabetic child. Don't want any of y'all going there ever. Don't even want you in type 2. Let's turn this around and get you back to health, because diabetes is not a good thing to live with. It's very time consuming and it's emotional. So I became obsessed with diabetes since my daughter's diagnosis, type 1 especially, but there's lots of crossovers. And from that went on to study more and more about blood sugar control. So I guess I'm ready. Go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah. Nobody has submitted questions yet in the chat. That usually takes people time to get going. But yeah, I suppose like if anybody would like to just come live and check in, I know you guys are doing the fasting with food challenge. So I know a lot of you are still in that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, so today would be day 4, no? So if you guys have questions and need support about that, then feel free to raise your hand and then we'll open up your line. Okay, Talia? Yeah, go ahead, Talia.
Hi, okay, hi. So you're right, today's day 4, but yesterday, day 3, I tried fasting to do a complete fast, and I started to develop a headache that went and got worse during the day, and at night I just decided that I need to eat something, because I didn't want to take anything against headache, it will defeat the purpose. And after eating a little bit, I had just half a cup of blueberries and a green soup. The headache went away. So obviously it was relating to not having enough food. But when I tested my blood sugar, it was 101. which is high for somebody who's been fasting and, you know, just ate a little bit. In a minute, I can't now. I'll call her right, I'm sorry. I will call her right back.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so I was surprised at the high number of, you know, day three of fasting and having this result. So I'm just curious. And I wasn't dehydrated. I drank a lot. Yeah.
Was the 103 before the blueberries or after?
After, like an hour or 2 hours after. But I had the blueberries in a salad, lots of lettuce and greens to cut it down, like Dr. Rita Marie always tells us.
Yes.
You know, lettuce and things to dilute it.
Right. I love blueberries. I can eat them by the pint, but blood sugar wise, I can't. I can. So for me, it's just a handful in a salad. Sounds like you had more.
A handful.
Okay. Because I thought I heard you say like half a cup or something.
Well, maybe a little less.
But also, you weren't feeling well. And when you're not feeling well, blood sugar will go up. That's just how our body, like it's in the world of type 1 diabetes, everybody freaks out when somebody's sick. Because blood sugars can go really, really high. And so that's why people freak out when type 1s get sick. It's because then you have to do extra insulin, you have to measure ketones, and we look at ketones differently. So it just changes everything. So since you had the headache and there was some inflammation going on, I'm wondering if the elevate, what are your numbers normally?
I'm still not able to bring them really low, unfortunately. Like this morning, it was 94. In the morning.
Yeah, but that's still better than one.
Exercising. I feel somehow some people I know, you can't compare, but some people are in the 80s, 70s, whatever I do, I can't get it that low.
And also no meter is perfect. Okay.
Yeah, I'm using the keto module.
Okay. None of them are perfect. Okay. Maybe yours just runs a little higher than the person that's getting the 80s. But yeah, we can't compare. And just know that no meter is perfect, no matter where we get them. They just, it's a device for home use. It's, you know, it's like any device, nothing's perfect. We're really watching for trends. Yeah, you don't want to get a 200, but what you really want to see are the trends. What's spiking me, what's dropping me? Are you staying steady? It sounds like you at least have a steady blood glucose most of the time, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, as long as I'm staying with the correct diet, the minute I go off, it shuts up.
Yeah. So you're learning what foods you can and cannot eat. You're learning portion control that works for you. Like I had to learn, I can't have that pint of blueberries. That was a tough day for me to accept that too. So you're learning what you can eat, how much you can eat, how you can eat it. You know, if I throw those blueberries in a salad, I'm fine. It does nothing. I can eat a small handful and I'm fine and it doesn't do anything. So what I always tell the people that I coach privately is that I would rather you watch the trend than get so focused on the number that it starts to drive you crazy. Then you get stressed and your blood sugar goes up. So, if you want to see how accurate your meter is, and we have done this, when you go the next time you go for lab work and they're drawing from your arm and they've taken out all the blood they're going to take, we always go, excuse me, and we test on that blood right there, see what that number is, and we write it down. So let's say at the lab, because I got angry driving over, it was stressful, I couldn't find parking, I was running late for my appointment, whatever. I stress out when they stick a needle in my arm. I don't like the sight of blood, whatever. Let's say my meter now says I'm 120. So I'm going to write down 120. And then when I get that blood work back, I'm going to compare my 120 to what they got. Sometimes it's really close and sometimes it's a gap. So that'll give you, again, not totally accurate, but it'll give you what your differential is on your meter. We've had two meters at the same time be 40 points apart.
Oh,
so, yeah. So just be aware, watch for those trends.
That's good.
But
good.
I would wonder if some of what was going on was your body was just reacting to stress.
And the fact I haven't been able to get into ketosis, like this morning I was 0.9, but still I'm not in the 1.5 and I'm not really getting higher. Most days I'm even lower.
Yeah, just listen to your body. Go at the pace your body likes, and you'll get there.
I'll get there.
You will. Some of us do it faster. Some of us get there faster. Some of us get there slower. That's like you said, your blood sugar is not where other people, you know, you'll get there when the time is right for you.
Okay, thank you. That's good advice. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll also name that, like with headaches and fasting, because we are doing fasting mimicking on this diet. You were following the fasting with food, right? You were following the guidelines. Yeah, so that can mimic like detox and fasting symptoms. So that headache also could just be maybe your detox pathways are a little jammed up. Or at least that's been true for me when I'm water fasting. Sometimes I get that detox headache. Mm-hmm. Sweating, skin brushing, sauna, dry brushing. I already mentioned that. And enemas, if you have an enema kit, you can get one on Amazon for like $30. Those could be tremendously helpful in managing detox symptoms, if that's what your headache was.
So probably, yeah.
Just wanted to add that. Yeah, that sometimes means that we're releasing toxins, which is a part of it. Or it just means like why I say to open up your pathways is because like maybe your body's not detoxing efficiently. It, like maybe it's recirculating toxins. So just something to, just wanted to add that.
Yeah, and along with that, are the detox pathways open? You know, are you constipated? Is that blocking up? Is, you know, so you need to make sure the downstream functions are working properly too.
Yeah.
Because if you're releasing toxins and you're constipated, you're not going to feel good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to the next question in the chat. So, so everyone just, now we have a few people in line with questions. So just submit it in the chat. If you have your hand up, please just submit your question and we're going to go in the order in the chat because I can't keep track of who raised their hand first. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, so Camilla asks a leftover question from a few weeks ago. She wants to know if remineralization of the bones from our Eating for Bone Health program, if that also impacts remineralizing the teeth.
I would think it should, because bones and teeth are basically the same structure. So I would assume so. I would keep up with what you're doing for your bones because, it's going to help your teeth. Absolutely. There's a couple in Hawaii and I can find it later and post it. They actually sell a product and they flat out it's a powder and it has minerals in it. And part of their claim is it remineralizes your teeth. It's a pretty clean product, but I'll have to go find it. I have it upstairs so I can look.
Very cool. Also, Primal Life Organics, I'll put that in the chat. That's one of Dr. Rita Marie's colleagues. She's created remineralizing toothpaste. So yeah, there's some toothpaste that actually do add minerals back to your teeth. But yeah, I think you're right, Annette. Like the teeth are living bones. So what we're doing for bone health, I think will... Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, you know, there's in some of the group, I'm actually in a group on Facebook and it's all about remineralizing teeth and people will show pictures where like they've healed cavities. So it's possible. Absolutely.
Yay.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very hopeful. Okay. Next question is from Aura Lee. What can I do to reverse vascular damage? I have champagne leg with a sore spot in the leg. Just before it gets narrower, like halfway down the calf. I want to strengthen the veins because I had a vein burst out 15 years ago on the same leg. What supports veins?
I know I have read stuff, but it's not coming to mind. So I will look that up and get back to you because I don't want to give you misinformation. And as for vascular damage, I truly believe that if we treat our body properly and feed it properly, that we can heal a lot of damage, and but I'd have to know more. Is it from blood sugar? You know, what's it from? So I don't, but I will look up about improving veins because I know I've seen stuff. It's just not coming to me.
Awesome. Wendy asks, I was gone for 10 days. Last week I had some sugar and foods I haven't eaten for 3 months. Now my blood sugar resting is higher than it was even before I started staying in the sweet spot. Is that normal if you slip up for a week? During the 3 months of sweet spot, my fasting blood sugar was 70 to 80 on awakening. Now it's 106.
Yeah, sugar's sneaky. I'm not real surprised it's staying a little high. Maybe you haven't totally cleared all that sugar out. Again, did you drop the meter? Did something happen to the meter? The sugar could have caused some inflammation, and inflammation is going to keep our blood sugar a little high. So anything you can do to, I'm not saying like guzzle gallons of water, but maybe drink a little extra water to flush that sugar out, help bring that inflammation down. If you're doing digestive enzymes, you can take them away from meals and they'll help break down some of that inflammation and hopefully get your numbers back down. Inflammation's a stress on the body. Whenever we have stress, blood sugar is going to go up, and our body doesn't know the difference between good stress, like I'm happy or I'm crying, I'm depressed. It can't differentiate. It's all stress. So, I would work on inflammation a little bit for this.
Yeah, so true. I heard that same thing over the weekend on the summit, that excitement is still sympathetic nervous system activation, like positive excitement. So it's something to think about for everybody. It's like anytime we get out of that mellow, like just neutral state, that can cause stress. So cool.
It's like exercise. Our body sees it as stress, so we go up, but then we get the benefit. We come back down and things are better. So
awesome. All righty. Orally, I've used 4 different meters and they are never consistent. I'm using Freestyle Libre, but it's usually lower. That's more of a comment than a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any comments about that, Annette?
The only thing I could, my daughter she was diagnosed, and a couple of years later, she let her blood sugar go uncontrolled. And at this time I was studying with Dr. Reed, where he had learned all about postprandial testing, and, went to visit my daughter, and I'm like, we're going to do it. Well, she decided since we were going to do it, we were going to get every meter she had. So she had 5 meters on the table, and she would do a prick and test all 5. We never, ever, ever got 2 to agree, ever. And frequently it was a 30, 40 point spread. If we got within 5, we were happy. That was the same. So again, and glucose meters expire. They have an expiration date on them. It's usually on the box. It's not on the meter. And strips. Strips can expire too. People still use them, the strips. People tend to still use the glucometers, but over a while, those things could happen. Some meters come with, it's a reagent, and you can put it in the meter, and it's supposed to reset it, recalibrate it. So that's something to look at too. All the little things I've learned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Trish, another comment. I had a bad headache yesterday, last night. I'm presuming a lot of these people with these symptoms are probably on the fasting while food challenge that Dr. Reed restarted supporting the group in on Friday. So right. Trish, again, I think this echoes our earlier advice about managing detox. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said with this low calorie plan, like I said, it is almost like a fast. It is fast mimicking. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And you might even put a pinch of good salt in the water that you're drinking to flush those out, because it'll give you a little bit of electrolytes.
Totally.
That could help a lot with the detox and how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes just salt in my water will fix a headache. Good salt though. Good salt.
Yes. Something not contaminated with plastic, if possible.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Wendy Jensen, I don't want to lose any more weight after the past 3 months. I'm concerned about losing weight during the 5-day fasting while feasting challenge. Any advice? I assume extra calories can be added, but I don't want to change the effects of the fast.
Wouldn't that be like adding some good fats? Some avocado to the green smoothies? That's what I would.
Wendy, if you'd like to open up and ask it, tell us a little more what's going on with your weight, that would help us understand.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I started at about 132, and after the 3 months, I dropped down to 118. I don't want to lose any more weight. I'm a little too thin right now. So I'm on the first day of the fast, but I know you add fats, that adds calories, and then that changes. I'm afraid of five days of low eating, low calories, that I'll just keep dropping in weight, and I don't want to go lower.
I would still, I know you don't want to add the calories, but if you don't want to lose the weight, because a good fat makes us feel satiated, so we can go longer. It doesn't, and start with the small amount. You don't have to add the whole avocado in, just a little bit. Because if you're, what I'm hearing is you want to do the fast, but you're very concerned about the weight loss.
Right.
So to offset that, how long were the fasts before? Was it a 5-day fast? How long?
Oh, well, I've only done the intermittent, like, you know, I'll go 12 hours without eating, or 16.
Okay. Angelica, do you have any other advice other than just adding small bits of fat to see if that helps?
Well, Wendy, I believe you were asking about this challenge, the fasting while feasting program.
Right. So for five days.
Yeah. So, I mean, my understanding is that it does only work within these strictly controlled parameters. So if you go over on the calories, I wouldn't say you would totally do away with all the benefits, like all the therapeutic benefits, but they might be decreased because you're adding a little more calories and fat. But it sounds like for you, because you've been consistently losing weight, and like you said, you're at risk for going underweight, maybe it's not the right time for you to follow that strict fasting while feasting protocol. Because that's, I think maybe the higher priority right now for you is getting enough nourishment.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Do what feels right. You have to like really tune in. Like, is like, does my body want this right now? Yeah. Like, yeah, it could give you some therapeutic benefits. You might get into ketosis. Like, but is that worth the losing the weight for you at this point in time?
Yeah.
So. And you know, maybe doing the fasting while feasting a year from now would be better.
Okay. Like, I could try it for a couple days and see if I stay stable in my weight, I guess, and stop if I'm not.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, play with it. See what works. But since there's been a big weight loss, I just don't, like Angelica was saying, I don't want you to go too low.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Okay. Laura Lee asks, she's been doing 72 hour fasts, I think monthly lately, and she says she's on her fifth one. She says she keeps losing and regaining the same 5 pounds each time. Don't know what to do to keep those pounds off. And she says on her maintenance days, her normal days, she's eating less than 1,300 calories and less than 20 carbs.
Yeah, I would wonder how your digestion and absorption are. Again, going back to the channels of detoxing, are you constipated? Oh, someone found Oral Wellness. That's it. Thank you, Sydney. So I would look at that. What is your digestion? Are you taking anything to help boost digestion? Because as we age, we make less hydrochloric acid. So we need to supplement like Dr. Reed-Marie talks about chewing the arugula, which I've become addicted to, chewing arugula before we eat to stimulate the digestion, because we are what we absorb. And I'm wondering if you're just not, if something's not processing downstream properly, since you keep losing it and regaining it. So I would look at your digestion.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if you're not losing weight and you're doing the right calories and the right macros and all of that, then yeah, there has to be some other source of, like, the body's hanging on for some reason to that weight. The body always hangs on to reason for onto weight for some reason. So it's like, let's figure out what that is.
Stress, hormones. There's so many things it could be. Maybe your body's thinking it's in starvation mode for some reason, and it's holding on. So, but I would look at other issues. Could be emotional, you know. We all tend to, especially now, we're all under extra stress. So it could be that also.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard people talk a lot about variability of your calories. So sometimes when you're super strict, like same calories every day, same macros, your body does catch on, and then it just adapts and down regulates your metabolism because it knows exactly how much fuel you're giving it. Whereas if you could maybe pick a day a week where you're giving yourself a little more, right? Keep it, like, change it up a little bit. I've also heard that that can work. Because, yeah, the body will figure it out, especially if you've been doing it for months. It'll figure out your routine and how much fuel you're providing, and then it'll just adjust your metabolism accordingly. So,
yeah, change is good.
Okay, so Trish, overall through the sweet spot, I have noticed that blood sugar readings are lower by 20 points. That's good, but I do notice after meals, it can take 3 to 4 hours for blood sugar to return to baseline. I'm thinking it's insulin resistance.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. But wow, 20 points. Good for you. That's amazing. That's great. But yeah, you should be returning back to normal faster than that. So there's some other things that need to be looked at. I would also wonder, you know, what are you doing after the meal? Are you going for a little walk? Are you doing a burst? Or are you sitting watching TV or reading a book? So look at some of that too, because sometimes just that little walk after dinner can help get that glucose into the cells, because it's those long muscles in the legs. That's where we can absorb a lot of glucose there without much insulin. So, you know, work the legs a little bit, see if that shifts it for you. It might be something that simple.
Very cool.
That walk after the meal is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that do spontaneous dance parties in situations like this after the meal to make sure they're getting that glucose in, getting it out of the bloodstream. So there's play with your burst too. Maybe drink a little extra water a little after the meal to help wash that sugar through. That's what I would do.
Okay. Wendy asks if Sprouts, the grocery stores, both right. Himalayan salt is good salt.
I have no idea. Sorry. I use pink Himalayan or I use Redmond's real salt. I like to vary my salt sources because different salt mines have different mineral composition. So if I'm always only using one, I'm only getting those minerals. There's other ones I'm missing out on. So like I have 3 or 4 different kinds of salt in my house all the time. No, but I don't know specifically about Sprout salt. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm personally always a little bit, I don't know, like I tend to want to go for smaller boutique-y companies because I feel like they do a little bit better quality control of their product, however it's procured. I mean, if it comes from the Himalayas, right, we can assume it's all from the Himalayas, so it all must be good. But I bet you at some point in the processing, it's possible like a bigger chain like Sprouts might cut some corners or do something. Like, so yeah, like I tend to stick with people that are a little more smaller, small batch. That makes me feel better about like what I'm getting. But
yeah.
Cool. Lou asked, this is more about program delivery. She said she didn't get an email about fasting with food. And she asked if there was a webinar. So Lou, there was not a webinar, and I don't think that we had an email sent out if you started that program. It's been directed through Facebook Lives. Dr. Rita Marie came on to Facebook Live, and she's doing one support or like live support video per day. So yeah, so you can catch up there by searching in the group for her Stay in Your Sweet Spot Lives. and follow on. That's the best way to do it.
Angelica, it's Marcia. She actually posted the schedule for the remaining, for all 5 days, and that's an announcement pinned to the top.
Oh, thank you. Perfect. So that means that we're on day four today, so we have 2 more days. Okay. Perfect. Kate, I didn't see anything in the email. Okay. You started fasting on your own. Okay. Yeah. So Kate, same thing. Like our fasted with food support is going through the Facebook Live. So if you're in the group, then there's a post at the top. Marcia just said that lists the schedule, and you can catch up on the videos that have already happened. So I'll be in the group. Okay. Kate has a question about slow and fast oxidizing. You didn't. Okay. Kate, you want to ask live about oxidizing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Annette, about slow and fast oxidizing, I heard Dr. Rita Marie say that, first, hi.
See ya.
Yeah, you too. I heard her talking about, you know, if you're a slow oxidizer, and she mentioned the gene that you would test to find out for coffee, but also she mentioned for chocolate, that you really should give up chocolate if you're a slow oxidizer, because you're risking breast health, you know, in terms of, I imagine, excessive estrogen, but she might also be talking about breast health in terms of developing, you know, either tumor or just fibrocystic breasts, that chocolate would cause that. So what I notice is, and I'm probably going to answer my own question, what I notice is that when there's an emotional tussle, something that really is grabbing at my soul, my family or the man in my life, money, you know, the big topics, that I immediately, I mean, without more than a couple of seconds, will go for chocolate morsels. And I know I must be a slow oxidizer. I haven't done that test, that specific SNP that she talked about, but my response is so immediate. I immediately have energy. I immediately can be distracted to do a million things and use that difficult idiom to put it into something productive. I don't even have the amount of time it takes to either take green capsules or get the green powder or get the green juice. I have to find a way to extend that time, or I'm not going to be able to drop it. Now, because the rest of my diet is so clean and supplements and the rest of it, that there are times where I don't touch it for 10 days. But when I do touch it, it is the worst. You know, it's like crazy. How could I make my own chocolate? It's delicious. It has a zillion herbs in it. It has everything that one of her recipes, she would love my recipe. But I'm still recognizing this immediate panic. And then there's heart math, and there's this, and there's that. It's not that there aren't a million things you can do, but you have to be able to catch that. It's like catching the ring on the carousel. You've got to be able to catch it. Otherwise, it catches you.
Right.
And I had an experience with family where I made a dessert for them. It was wonderful. And someone else made homemade ice cream because I didn't make it, because I was busy with the other things. And it had sugar in it. And you would have thought someone ripped through my entire system. I mean, it took me days to recover.
Yeah.
I was more miserable than I've ever been because my system's clean.
Right. Sugar hits me hard. It'll knock me out for a couple of days, kind of back in reference to that other question. If I were to have sugar right now, I mean, hardcore sugar, I know I would be like disconnected for a while. So you were just on the IRSPT call where she did discuss the CYP1A2 gene.
That's what it is.
Yeah, because I made sure I wrote it down.
Yeah.
So it could be
embarrassing. Who would think that you'd, you know, all of a sudden turn into a junkie again, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're feeling like some ridiculous thing.
Yeah. I've learned what is my sweet spot for good chocolate I can have. And as long as I stay to that portion or smaller, and I let it melt in my mouth so I savor it longer, I get the mouth feel. Otherwise, but there are things I just have to stay away from too.
Clearly, yeah. If I eat one piece of what I've made, it's medicine. It's wonderful. Yeah. But if I get near anything else, it's a real problem.
Yeah.
Even if it has monk fruit sugar in it, even if it has coconut sugar in it.
Yeah, I can't do monk fruit.
Yeah, monk fruit depends. Yeah.
Monk fruit isn't sugar though, per se, is it? It's a fruit, but it's like supposed to be a low glycemic sweetener, right? It's not same as sugar.
Right.
Well, it does, the packages say it's 2 times the sweetness of regular sugar.
Correct, see, doesn't mean that it's the same as the sugar molecule. It doesn't mean it's the same.
I'm just curious that I had such a reaction to it.
Could have been something else that was going on in that time. You know, this, if you were at a family gathering, was there family stress going on, as there can be? What else was going on? Were you fighting an illness? It could have been so many other things.
Like there's wonderful, and then there's sometimes equally challenging. So you have to have the healing tool and challenge.
Right.
Anyway, thank you.
Cool. Let me know if you figure it out.
I will.
Okay, cool. Thanks. All right, next, Angelica. I'm kind of...
Oh, are we at, we've got time. All right. Tiffany asks, I have a question on why does eating animal protein keep your blood sugar higher?
It's not all animal protein, and it really depends on the person. Your body only needs so much protein at a meal. Okay. So if I can get that protein need satiated in 3 bites of a hamburger, I'll be fine. But if I were to eat that whole hamburger because it was there, it looked good, I was hungry, that extra protein converts to sugar. That's why excess animal protein can spike you. I eat meat. I can eat chicken. I could sit down, almost eat a whole chicken, and my blood sugar is going to stay steady and pretty. But if I eat too much red meat, I will spike. So don't, when people tell you protein doesn't spike you, they're misinformed. So it's just that it converts to sugar for storage.
Interesting. And I know if Dr. Rita Marie were here, she would also name the potential risks of consuming too much protein. There's other biochemical things, many wastes and stuff. So not to mention the quality. Okay.
So on that, is it okay if I ask on that, Annette?
Yeah.
I really got a lot out of your following trends, because mine has been in the 90s, mid 90s to like 105, 106, 107. Occasionally it will spike way up. And I've come to the conclusion mine is more emotional. And I'm working with that Laura Fine, and I'm discovering that there's some ongoing emotional fears that are underlying, and I'm working with that. But I also noticed, you know, I've been eating 3 to maybe 4 ounces of protein, and it's really good protein. I don't eat that much red meat, mostly fish and chicken. So it's kind of finding the same trend with protein. What will my body utilize and keep my blood sugar lower on which type of protein? Is that correct?
Right. Because like I said, I could sit down and eat probably an entire chicken. Not that I would, but I played one day. I had a chicken and I had a tub of lettuce, and 80% of what I ate was chicken. And I had beautiful blood sugar. It was absolutely very pretty. But there was, my daughter and I went out to a restaurant. We split a hamburger. It was obviously way more protein than either of us needed. And it was clean meat. But on our way home, we had to stop and pull off to the side of the road because I was like at 180 and she was over 200.
Wow.
So, and we didn't have the bun because we're gluten-free. So we pulled off the freeway and we parked the car and we got out and we started exercising. I'm sure we looked goofy as heck, but that's okay. And we kept at it until our blood sugar came back down. So it's playing, again, it's playing with your food, figuring out. And one meal, I may only need a couple of ounces of protein, where a few days later, I might need 4 ounces. Not that it's an issue.
How do you know that ahead of time?
You don't. You don't. I can't.
Okay.
You don't.
Okay. It's, all right. Okay. Because that's my thing. It's like, you know, I've learned so much. If I overdo, it goes up. And like, if I have too much joy, it goes up. I mean, it's been so fascinating, all the different things, you know, that make it go up, and trying to truly find that sweet spot and keep it in there is so much more than I thought it would be. And I've been doing that fasting with food every month since January. And when I do that, it goes down into the 70s and 80s. But as soon as I start adding back other food, it goes right back up into the 90s. So, you know, I'm at a baffle as to do I can't keep fasting because I've gotten really thin. But I'm trying to figure out, how do I find a healthy range and still eat?
It's just going to be playing with portions, learning. Like, we learned how much. In a typical time, we can do little sliders of good beef, but we go much beyond. And that's enough, because we've got, you know, lots of other leafy greens and vegetables on the table. So you only need, we really don't need that much animal protein if we're eating it. But in this country, we've been conditioned to sit down and eat that big burger and that whole steak, and maybe that burger with two patties on it, which none of us need. So just play with your portions and figure out. But yes, the excess protein will convert to sugar and raise your blood sugar. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was figuring out. And the other thing, I've been using nut butter and seed crackers as a way of keeping weight on, and chia pudding, which is the coconut milk. And I noticed Dr. Rita Marie over the years is not using the coconut milk as much. Is that still good to keep the weight on?
I know a lot of people, I do use coconut milk, coconut cream, in moderation. I don't use it a lot. It's a healthy fat, but remember, it's a processed good fat.
So every time it's processed,
the farther we get away from source, the more processed something is. So it's not, you'd be better off getting a coconut and having the coconut meat. Or the milk from that.
And you can buy that frozen, right?
I've seen it in some places, yes.
So I'd have to order that online, because I don't even see coconuts in the grocery stores around here anymore.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't go to the grocery store much these days, but that's different.
Yeah. I might have. Well, I mean, to find a coconut. Yeah. I don't know where I'd find it in Washington State.
Yeah. My cat's going to the wall. Okay. Well, it's nice to see you.
Nice seeing you too. Thank you.
Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, just a comment on the coconut milk. The boxed ones and the canned ones, they tend to have stabilizers and thickeners, which for some people, it's like that brings in a new challenge, because you have to be able to digest all that, and it can cause a little bit of upset, of bloating. And also, you can make your own. Like, you can Vitamix dried coconut with warm water, and you could squeeze it out and make your own and see, like, if that spikes your sugar, because it doesn't have all the thickeners, it's fresh. You can also get nut milks out of, I've done pumpkin seed milk, macadamia milk, you know, almond milk. There's a lot of, like, alternative milks.
Z Food has a dried coconut milk.
That's right, the powder. So you just mix it with water and you have an instant. Yeah, cool. Okay, so this is a comment question from Jean. She also doesn't want to lose any more weight, but she's chosen not to do the fasting with self feasting. What can I do to gain? How do you check metabolism, absorption? Having trouble with chronometer.
Okay, I don't use a chronometer, so if you use it, I'll let you have that one.
Yeah, so Jean, we do recommend chronometer a lot, just to track your intake, just to see how much you're getting on average. if you're having trouble with the tool, then maybe it would be best for you to just not worry so much about numbers and just like try to add an extra portion of fat to at least one meal. Like you could do 2 tablespoons of nut butter and get extra 200 calories. Like what if you did that like for every day for a week, you know, and see if you're still losing. Does that feel, you don't need to track the numbers exactly. You just kind of need to start upping your portions slowly to get to a good meat.
Well, I know that Rita Marie doesn't recommend eating. My naturopathic doctor has listed 10 tablespoons of fat. He would like healthy fats he would like me to take, but I don't necessarily like to take it by the tablespoon. So I'm trying to figure out how much. I mean, I could add a lot of calories that way. You know.
Are you referring to oil?
I'm referring to oils, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes Dr. Rita Marie does say, like, again, with people who are underweight, that's not a good state of affairs. Like the high priority is to, the top priority is to get you nourished enough, get you enough calories so your body can run. So maybe in those cases, I've heard Dr. Rita Marie say oil, maybe a little bit of oil, adding in just to enrich some of your meals. Until you get your weight up.
Yeah. I seem I've come down about 8 pounds and I'm kind of stabilized there, given 1 or 2 pounds. Like in the morning, I might weigh something. In the evening, I'll weigh 2 pounds more. But then in the morning, I'm back at the low one again. So I'm not really coming up.
How do you feel, Jean?
Well, pretty good. Although I know I need to do more exercise. I'm trying to get out and walk more, but I'm also I want to do the strengthening exercises because I feel like my muscles are getting weaker. And I know one of the best ways to do that is eccentrics, which is strengthening by stretching, you know, in a way to do that program. It's just a matter of trying to stick it in the day somewhere.
Yeah, I recall you have pretty full days.
Yeah.
You could take a healthy, cleaner fat and just start with small amounts in your green drinks, your juices.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. The juices, the green juice is fine. He would like me to drink carrot juice and a beet juice, which is fine because it has all the greens of the beets and everything in it. But I've been trying, the carrot juice is the one that will tend to spike my sugar and I need to mix it with cucumber or something. Like that. I usually put green apple in it, but that's not quite enough to keep it from going up. Generally, my blood sugar stays pretty stable. I can keep it pretty much under 110.
Okay.
But I'm also taking a lot of supplements, and I would like, these are digestive enzymes and that type of thing. All kinds of, some of them have a lot of different herbs and stuff in them. I would just like to get to a place where I don't rely on the supplements so much. I feel like, you know, half of my nutrition is coming in the supplements.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm doing this again. I did it with you last
year. Right. Yeah.
And just trying to figure out, I'm going to do the testing for nutrients and that kind of thing I need to do. And I need to do some more blood testing. Just to kind of see, but I don't know how well I'm absorbing things or how well I'm metabolizing. I notice that if I do seeds, seeds almost always come through. Okay. You know, I'm not digesting the seeds. Okay. I mean, I've sometimes ground them up like pumpkin seeds and stuff.
You're working with Lisa, right?
I did a strategy session with her and I'm going to go back and try to work with her because if I kind of finish up, but I feel like I need to get some testing done and get some.
Lisa is amazing.
Yeah.
With testing, connecting those dots and going back to root causes. So I would say working with Lisa would be a great place for you.
What I need to do just to know, what do I spend my time on?
Yeah. Lisa'd be great to help you figure that out. Absolutely.
So she wanted me to do, she suggested the chronometer to to find out how many calories I'm getting, but I still can't. I noticed there's a webinar on that sometime very soon. I've got to make sure they give you instructions about how to do it.
I'd work with Lisa. She's great.
Okay.
You'll enjoy working with her.
But, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I just turned 82, so.
I know. You're good. You're good. It's nice to see you again. So, take care. You.
Thank you.
All right. From Camilla, is it possible to get a list of all the different kinds of cellular damage that can happen when our sugar goes over 110? I feel like it would be good motivation for me to keep making good choices.
Beta cells, beta cell destruction, beta cell in the gallbladder, in the pancreas is where our insulin is made. Beta cell destruction begins when we hit 100 or can begin at 100. Eye damage can start at around 120, and neuropathies and nerve damage is about 140. How's that?
That motivates me.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the 100 destroying, wiping out, attacking beta cells is enough too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Very cool. Thank you for that, Annette.
You're welcome.
Good for all of us. Okay.
Annette, could you say again the very beginning, beta cell destruction, and then you had
at 100.
You had two other things about beta cells.
120. 120 is eyes.
I got that, but you had two other things you mentioned about beta cells.
I said the beta cells in the pancreas are what is where the insulin is created. It's where our insulin comes from.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Alrighty. Seeing some comments about coconut milk here, so I'm scrolling down. Okay, it looks like we're out of questions for now. Trina asks, was there an announcement sent out today about this call? I missed it and looked on Facebook announcements and found nothing. Just took a chance on a link I saved and voila. To be honest, I don't think I'm on the call reminder list for this program. Because I get the link otherwise. Did anybody else, if you could add in the chat, did you get a call reminder email for today? Oh.
There was a question. It's Marcia. She did send something out today.
There was? Okay.
Yeah, and it's also on the Unstoppable Health website for Stay in the Sweet Spot tab.
Marcia, you're looking at freeze-dried coconut water. Mine's coconut milk. Because I wouldn't have bought it if it had tapioca and maltodextrin in it.
Okay. I have the milk from Z Natural Products, and they're actually out of stock in it right now.
Oh. Okay.
Probably because of the pandemic, everyone bought dry goods. Survival.
Yeah. I mean, I use it not that much, but that was one of the reasons we went ahead and stocked up. So. Dude, chill. Okay.
Let's see. I think Lou said she had a question. Okay, yeah, we're out of questions, so we'll just go to just call her out or write it in the chat and whatever.
Occasional spike. Right. Yeah, I don't think if you're eating you're upset about something and you pop up to 142 for a couple moments, I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. If that answers that, Trina. It's going to be more of a sustained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that sugar staying at that level for a while. Yeah. Cumulative damage. Yeah, totally. Okay. All right, Lou, you're up.
Okay. I did type a question in the chat, but you missed my second one. Yesterday, I had lunch and it shouldn't have shot my blood sugar up as high as it did. In fact, I didn't think it would get above 110. But I went out right after I ate lunch, I went outside and lay 20 minutes on my front and 20 minutes on my back to get some vitamin D. And I'm in South Carolina and it's hot and I got hot and sweaty. And I also have a sensor. So I don't know whether, so the first question is, with the hot weather and being hot and sweaty shoot my blood sugar up?
Yes. Did the sensor get sun on it? If it gets sensor,
I'm sure it did.
Then yes. Yes.
So yes. Is it the sensor or is it actually my blood?
It's the sensor.
Okay.
If you had tested your blood sugar, heat will raise it, cold will drop it. But I would almost bet if you poked your finger and it was 120, but your Libre might have said 160. So yes, it will go up. If you're in a hot shower and that hot water hits it, it will go up. I was on a road trip. The air conditioner was blowing right at my sensor. I scanned myself. I'm like 55, no way. I re-angled the vent from the AC, let the sensor kind of get back to room temperature, and my blood sugar went back to 80. So temperature absolutely affects the sensors.
Well, and the one thing about the sensor is you can see your graph. And I've noticed that at night, it tends to go down. And I don't know if that's a function of, it's usually between 3 and 4:30, or whether it's a function of our rollover and the air conditioning hitting it.
Well, is the air conditioning hit it? Are you sleeping on it? So I tend to sleep on my right side. So I tend to put my sensor on the left, because when you sleep on the sensors, you get what's called a compression low. It just can't function properly. And as soon as you roll over, it goes back to normal. So the nights that I put it on and I sleep on my left, I'll have a red flat line. You know, it looks like I died. I was in the 40s all night long. That's my cat, sorry. And it makes me laugh because I know I wasn't 40 all night long. I was sleeping on the thing.
Okay. Well, it tends to go down in the red for a short period of time, like maybe an hour and a half. It kind of goes up and down in the red. And that tends to be, and I don't know if it's a function of my cortisol, because a lot of times it's kind of when you want to wake up and go to the bathroom at between 3 and 4:30. So I don't know if that's,
they call it dawn phenomenon, when your cortisol starts to spike as you're getting up. If you're going low at night, it might be something to do with your liver. If you look at the Chinese organ clock, and you can Google Chinese organ clock and you'll get it, it'll come up and you can see between the hours of, look at your timing and see what organ your body is, you know, healing during that time period. So if it's during the time that it's liver, because liver is involved in blood sugar control, maybe it's just something going on with the liver in that time.
Okay. Well, another question, since you were talking about that, I started using the Freestyle Libre, I guess, mid-March. So I did first two times on my left side, then I changed to the right, then I did the left, then I did the right, which is where I am. And the two times I had it on the right, it seemed to track lower than it did on the left. Have you noticed a difference that way?
Yeah. It depends. Okay, so I don't always wear it on my arm. I prefer it on my thigh. So I tend to wear it on my thigh. And my thigh numbers tend to run lower than my arm numbers. And that's just a function of the meter. It's not me. And I just know that there's a little variable difference. And, you know, thigh is off label. So if I have a problem with that sensor, you know, if you have a problem with your sensor, you can call Abbott, right, and get it replaced.
Well, how do you know?
It stops working, it falls off, you knock it off because you walked by a door too closely, you just call them and they'll replace that. But you have to say you were wearing it on your arm.
Okay.
So like if I had one on my thigh and it would not start, and it kept saying restart, restart. So when I call that in, I'm going to say I had it on my arm. Because that was definitely a faulty sensor, regardless of where I had it.
Well, the first time it was tracking low when I changed it to the right, I was testing it with the blood meter, but I have the Rely On, so which usually is about 10 points higher, supposedly, than...
As long as you know the difference, yeah.
But I was getting a difference of 30 to 40 points between what the sensor was saying and what the Rely On was saying, so...
When you...
How do you know what to believe?
we'll average them. with that big of a difference, we'll average them. Same thing. You could still, next time you get a blood draw, you could, you know, take a strip and test it, like I talked about earlier. When you scan, do you use your phone or the reader?
I use a phone.
Okay. Those readers can also be used as meters. That has a special strip. So when I have one that's really crazy, like when it gives me the little blood drop sign and it says test your blood sugar, and if it's just like ridiculous, because if the spread is too big, you can get that sensor replaced. So I have gotten sensors replaced because my sensor might be telling me I'm at 60, but when I do a finger stick, I'm at 110. And I love using, I did buy strips for the reader. And it tells you they were nano strips, I think, Freestyle Nano, because I loved calling them and going, well, your Libre said that I was at 60, but when I used your reader as a glucose meter and it said 110, the argument stops there. They just go, okay, it's wrong, we'll replace it. So
they think their strips are more accurate than their reader, than their
No, Libre. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if I call in and I say I used a Bear glucose meter or I used a Rely-On glucose meter, they're going to question the accuracy of that meter. If I'm using a Freestyle meter, they don't question at all. I also have a Freestyle light meter that I'll use. I'm just trying to offset their arguments that are coming.
Yeah, so I understand that, but I'm saying of those two, which would they think was more accurate?
Well, they're going to side with their product over anybody else's.
No, but between their meter and their Freestyle Libre, which do they think?
Once I said the meter I used was one of their meters, they've stopped arguing with me.
Okay.
So it's not so much, they know sometimes the Libres don't work properly. And I've had them work great and then be lousy for a couple of days and then come back.
Yeah.
So it's just when they're ridiculously off that I will call. I've been known to track for 3 or 4 days the differences, because then I can call and give them a bunch of numbers too.
Okay.
So like Libre is like any other product. It's not perfect, but it's great. I love them. I wear them. It's great for learning things, watching those trends, seeing how things impact you. So we got a little off there. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I was just, the Libre is great because you can take your phone that you have with you anyway, and you can hit it. And if you forget to do it, I mean, I was very good about tracking, 30 times a day for the first 4 weeks at least. But then sometimes more recently I've forgotten, but then you can look at the graph and I'll write in my thing. Oh, the graph says that around this time, it was around this number, and I can see, at least on the graph, sort of where it's falling.
It will only hold data for 8 hours. You have to scan at least once every 8 hours, or you'll lose data.
Okay.
So if you sleep...
That explains a few short gaps that I've got. Okay. Yeah.
If you sleep for 10 hours, you're going to miss those first 2 hours will not be caught when you scan when you get up.
Okay.
Yes, that's those gaps.
That's those little gaps that I saw. Mm-hmm. That explains it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Sorry, I went off. If you have questions, let me know.
Okay.
Okay. Wendy wants to know, is there a difference between the Rely-On meter and the Premier Rely-On meter? Maybe just a newer model.
Yeah, I think it's newer. It's probably a little, I know they say it's better. I haven't gotten the Premier one. I don't know. But we've used Rely-On.
I think I have the Premier Voice.
Yeah, they're definitely. Yeah,
they're really affordable, and I haven't had a problem with it. I think it probably reads a little high.
As long as you're aware that it's a little high. Again, we're not medicating off these devices. For my kid, it's really important her stuff's accurate, but for most of us, we're not medicating off of these devices. In a way, yeah, because you're going to change your food and stuff, but I would use a Relyon. I wouldn't think twice about it. And they've definitely gotten better over the last few years. They're really striving to be a much better meter. And a lot of people some companies are starting to private label Relyons. I learned that last year. So.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know. Okay, Rob asks, does the body break down muscle if it needs blood sugar? I'm underweight and feel muscle weakness between meals.
See, when my daughter went high, she was 625. She was breaking down muscle. I don't know about when your blood sugar is low. Where's the question? I'm trying to find the question. Could you repeat it again?
Sure. Rob asks, does the body break down muscle if it needs blood sugar? I'm underweight and feel muscle weakness between meals.
I don't want to just venture a guess, but again, I'd be happy to do some research on that, Rob, and I'll post it in the on the group. Because like I know her body just destroyed her muscles when she was high for so long. Okay.
Cool. I know Dr. Rita Marie told a story last week about when she was exercising while fasting, and just it was like on day 6 or something, and it was very clear she was breaking down muscle because her blood sugar went up and she had had no food for 6 days. So that's like a very obvious case of yes, yeah. Your body will go to break down muscle to create glucose, but if you ran out of glycogen. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like if this is happening to you between meals, there's probably some other explanation for this muscle weakness.
Yeah.
That's my intuition. Aura Lee asks, have you noticed if the vegan food versus meat alternatives tend to raise or lower blood sugar more? Vegan food versus meat alternatives. I'm not really sure what that means, but I think what she's asking is, she says, I do eat some meat and fish. I'm not clear which way is better. So maybe vegan versus omnivore.
Yeah, I would say you have to test to see, you know, like maybe do a week where you're just vegan and track stuff, give your body a break, and then try a week of, you know, having some meat with some meals. Because we're all different. I know my body's healthier when I eat some meat than when I didn't. I was vegetarian for like 20 years. I was the wrong kind. That was probably part of the problem. I was a carb loader. So you're going to have to, because we're all different, I can't tell you, sorry, which is best for you. But I would experiment. You have the tools to see how your body reacts, you know. So I would play. Play with your food. Play with your food.
Awesome. All right. Anybody have a question live? We've got like 10 more minutes. We have officially like 75 minutes for these calls. So if you'd like to ask live, we don't have any more in the chat. So you can raise your hand and I'll call on you. Trina. Okay, Trina. Come on. Come on down.
Can you see me?
We can see you.
Yeah. Okay. I can't see me right now, but if you can, that's the point. I'm way behind, but I'm learning so much from this first journey into pricking my finger. I have not taken the 30-day original test, nor am I like with you. I found today very interesting with that question about the spikes. Because I have a problem with eyes, and glaucoma, and I have a problem with shaky hands, which is a nerve kind of thing. I don't have peripheral damage yet, but this was very useful today to hear what that is. And I really want to be on a grain and legume diet. I've been vegetarian most, you know, 99%. I have some sardines and things like that once in a while. But I'm really interested if some of you have gone back on grain after the quite severe absence of them and to on legumes and how you've done. I haven't had I haven't understood enough to decide to do that big thing. I'm an idiot. So I just haven't. I've been trying to really educate, and I'm signed up for the July thing, and I'm following through on the state. So I'm interested what other people have experienced going back on some of the things that they have and how happy they are.
Are you talking about food that they've, like, we went off grains and we don't eat them anymore because of the way they impact my daughter. Legumes, she doesn't like. I could sit down and eat a bowl of lentils every day. I absolutely love lentils, but I know lentils spike me, and I know that from testing. So I don't, there's a restaurant here we'll go out to once every 3-4 months, and I will get a serving of lentils on my salad. So I don't feel that spike because it's only like a spoonful of lentils. But I know if I ate much, if I just sat down and ate lentils, my blood sugar would go through the roof. So I've made the choice that I don't go back. I've made the choice that I can have that small amount once in a while and it doesn't affect me. So now that you're poking your finger, you'll be able to see how those things impact you. It could be like I've done with the lentils, you can just have a little bit, you can't have a lot. So their choices, you'll get the information and then you'll make your choices based on that going forward.
I'm learning so very much. So I'm going slow, but I'm learning. I've never learned those things before, and I decided to try to do it.
No, you're in a great place, and it's a great community. You get a lot of support.
So thank you all very much, and I'm so glad I got on today. It took me like 16 minutes to figure out how to do it because I didn't see the announcements. I'm the one who wrote that question.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad you're here. Thank you.
Are you going to be here every Monday? Is there something going to happen every Monday? Something?
There's going to be a rotation. Dr. Marie's going to be here once, Angelica's going to do, and then I'll be here.
But there will be something every Monday.
Is it every Monday?
No, not necessarily. I believe our call schedule is posted on your Unstoppable Health site, so your main membership site for this program. I'm going to check it right now to make sure that's fact. But my understanding is next week we do not have a call, so there is not one every Monday. But then I think Dr. Rita Marie is going to support on the 13th, Monday the 13th. So,
and if on the, will you have a rather nice, neat schedule like for the Friday things and everything? Because it's really hard to pull this all out of all the announcements that come through. We get a lot. And,
and are you asking if there'll be a schedule for all the support calls?
Yes, and the Friday, I mean, you're supposed to come on at, what, Thursday at 4? And Dr. Marita right now at Friday. Will those all be listed in one place where I can find it? Because sometimes they get really mixed up and I'm zoomed out sometimes.
Sure, let me see what we have going on right now and then I can speak to that. So we've got a list of upcoming calls. So support Zoom calls listed. We do not have the Facebook Live listed, but I could request that we post the Facebook Live schedule. We also post it on, like, Facebook. We'll usually make an announcement. But, yeah, I think we could probably do that. Like, every Thursday, we could put the Thursday dates, and that way you'll have the Facebook Live and the monthly support.
I think it might be useful for others, since I'm the one right now.
Thank you for the feedback. I'll definitely ask our operations team if we can do that. And as in terms of Dr. Rita Marie's lives, she's very spontaneous, so I can almost guarantee you there won't be a schedule or an email associated with that. There won't be an email about Facebook Live.
Either. And may I ask the question is, I did sign up for the weekend, you know, the wonderful weekend that we're going to have at July 25th and 26th.
Uh-huh.
And how do we... If we want to be able to keep that, is there a special deal for those of us signed into the thing? Because we have it free as part of our thing. But then if you want to keep the downloads, how does that work? I didn't see that when I signed in.
Oh, I see. You mean after the event's complete? I believe there's going to be a VIP bundle sold. So that would be an extra charge to get the recordings.
Has that been announced yet? I didn't see it.
You know, I know that Dr. Rita Marie did like a webinar to open this event up to the public. She may have sold it then, but I'll get back to you on that.
I went to both of those webinars because it was so rich and full of information, but I didn't see any way to, when I signed in, and both times the webinars did not give the $49 thing that they advertised. It was 190 something.
That would actually be an order issue. So I would actually write that question to help desk at drritamarie.com. Let them know I did not see the offer for the VIP bundle or the what you're talking about, and then they should be able to guide you to the right place.
I'm okay now, but I had sent it out to maybe 100 people, encouraging them to join, and it was not clear got on. And I did do a lot of work the first time around, and I was ashamed. I was ashamed that seemed, you know, the $49 thing was not on it. So I did a lot of work, and it went back to $49. But then it went back up to another one later.
It's possible. So yeah, there's usually dynamic pricing for our events. Usually there is a special early action.
That's right. And it was set to be the end of Saturday, and then it wasn't that later Saturday. So I don't know how many of the people I reached out to ever responded. So this was a problem because I'm an advocate for her programs. So it was a shame. I was ashamed, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry that reflected on you because you offered the opportunity to your community. But usually if there's like some kind of glitch or mistake in our pricing where, like you're saying, if it wasn't the accurate price at the time, we said it would stay at a certain price, like definitely right into the client care team, and they could possibly
we'll correct it. We'll
see. So
I can't follow through on everybody. You know, we just have to dig things. I took care of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, just trust in your community to be resourceful as well. And if there's an issue, then they could also write in. Yeah. Okay. So I think we're wrapping up on the 75 minutes. We've run out of questions. So, Annette, you want to say anything final to wrap up the call?
No, I will get, I'm going to look into the muscle breakdown, and I will get that posted as soon as I find the correct answer. And you guys, you can reach out to me on the Facebook group if I can answer any other questions. And thanks for being here. And thanks for your help, Angelica.
Yeah, no problem. It's fun. All right, everyone, I'll unmute you. We can all say goodbye. 1, 2, 3, ready, go.
Goodbye.
Oops. Bye.
Thank you very much. I answered the question, Annette. I got it. Next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.